Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love and grace in our lives that allows us to continue to worship you. Even in the cold weather, even in the snow, we come to worship you. Lord, your word speaks to us. God, I pray that as we continue to worship you this morning, Lord, that you would indeed speak to us. That our hearts are attentive to you, Lord, and we wait for you to speak. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. Hey, did you hear about the new idol in America? Have you heard about it? It's not one of the usual suspects, sex or drugs or materialism. It's a powerful and persuasive idol that dominates our decision and even our destiny. People who succumb to it see their dreams discarded, their hearts shrunken, their faith is diminished, and their growth is stunted. These victims live with shriveled spiritual hearts. What is that idol? It's the idol of safety. It's the idol of safety. Americans have grown up obeying posted signs everywhere. Safety first! A pastor named Scott Dudley noted in a sermon how over the last 30 years we have created the most risk-averse society in history. We are the most seat-belted, bike-helmeted, airbag, knee-pad-wearing, private school, gluten-free, hand-sanitized, peanut-avoiding, sunscreen-lathering, hyper-insured, massively medicated, password-protected, valet-parked, security system inoculated generation in history. And all it has done is made people afraid of everything. And I'm not talking about taking risks for risk's sake, but I believe this new safety idol is destroying our faith. Most Christians don't serve. Why? Because it's not safe. Say that with me. Because it's not safe. Most Christians don't dream great dreams. Why? Most Christians don't share their faith or take a stand. Why? Most Christians don't tithe or give sacrificially. Why? Most Christians don't break habits, take risks, build relationships, or have adventures. Why? Because it's not safe. Have you ever received one of those direct mail envelopes in the mail? Stamped on the outside are words like, your invitation to adventure. You think, awesome. What is in here? A trip down the Amazon? Hang gliding lessons? Maybe I can go to the Oval Office. A safari in Africa. Not a chance. Usually the invitation to an adventure is just a packet of coupons to the local store or mall. Now, if you're looking for more than a trip to Walmart or Meijer, if you refuse to believe that the ultimate gift in life is slowly walking up to your grave and safely falling in, if you want more on your tombstone than a phrase, what a relief, nothing bad happened, then this message is for you. Understand that playing it safe will limit your impact. It will also send you down this road of stagnation, unrealized potential, and unfulfilled dreams. Got any God-honoring risks that you're being called to take? The impact you can make explodes the minute you remove the handcuffs of fear and decide to make your life count. Back in the fall of 2013, the reserves for paying down the mortgage on Armstrong Hall at the other end of the church was getting low. We were going to need more money. Now, I know there were some of us praying for the right solution for the $183,000 left still to pay. After a larger meeting with some church leaders, four of us got together to talk about the approach of raising money for payments. As we talked about the possible solutions, what we came up with was twofold. First, we'd raise $100,000 to pay down the principal, and then we would refinance the remaining balance to lower our payments so that we could then absorb those payments into our weekly tithes and offerings. I was hopeful, but I have to admit, I was just a tad bit anxious. Because the last two attempts to raise money to pay down the mortgage on the hall totaled just over $80,000, two times over 6 years. About $80,000 was raised. And we were going to ask God for a one lump sum of $100,000. Double Blessing Sunday is what we came up with. It was prayed over, promoted, and on that morning in June 2014, about 6 months later, God worked in the life of this church. And when the count was totaled, we'd raised $102,000. The payments were lowered by $1,000 a month, and the mortgage is now being handled by our regular giving. What a blessing how God worked through the generosity of the people of the Heartland United Methodist Church. Now, fear could have kept us from trying something that audacious, something big, but our trust in God just happened to be bigger. And guess what? God showed up. Fear has a way of keeping us from not just big efforts, but it can also stifle our everyday efforts for God. Yet, I can't find a single verse in Scripture where God says, "Come, follow me, but play it safe." Remember, playing it safe shrinks our faith. Pastor Francis Chan calls Christians to stop living safely. Lives with no real failures, no risks, no struggles. At a conference he was speaking at, Francis had a balance beam placed on the stage. And while he was standing on this balance beam, he described the desire for the security and stability that we all want in life. And then he shared his own history. He said by the time he was 16 years old, his mother, his stepmother, his father, his aunt, and his uncle had all died. He said that that kind of loss created a desire in him for a risk-free life, a life of safety and security. And you can understand why. But then to illustrate the danger of that choice, Francis said, imagine you're at the Olympics. Now remember, he's standing on this beam. And then instead of doing a risk-filled routine, he laid down on the beam, wrapped his arms and legs around it, and hugged it. He explained how people respond to instability by refusing to venture out. They say, I'm just going to have a nice little family. I'm not going to let them go outside because of the bad rays of the sun. I don't want to do anything too crazy for God. I want to go to church, and I will go to church, but maybe I'll give like 2%, and maybe I'll help in the nursery once a year. He went on to say, you do this your whole life, and then you say, God, you know what? I would love to die in my sleep so I don't feel any pain. And then just go to heaven. Then he crawled off the balance beam, threw his arms wide in the air, as if he had just dismounted with a spectacular dismount. Francis then asked, can you imagine watching the Olympics and watching someone do that and expect to get a great score? What's a judge supposed to say? Lousy balance routine, but a great point. Try to turn to a passage in the Bible, any passage in the Bible, where God calls someone to do something safe. Abraham leaves the familiar and travels for hundreds of miles to a land that he's never been to. Moses goes to Pharaoh after Pharaoh knows he killed somebody, but he still goes to Pharaoh to say, let my people go. Esther puts her life in danger to persuade a king not to kill her people. David takes on a giant of a man with just a sling and a stone. Joshua crosses a raging river to get to the promised land. Peter gets out of a boat, and Jesus goes to a cross. Do you see any safety in that? Friends, authentic faith is developed when we respond to the call of God and take risks. That's because when we take a risk, we learn then that God does come through. God does show up. We learn that God can do what we can't do on our own. In fact, playing it safe stunts your growth. So your faith doesn't deepen, you don't fall any deeper in love with God, and you don't do anything for God. I am that case in point. As I've shared before, it was in my early to mid-20s, well, 23, when God really started to get after me. I was questioning life's meaning. More specifically, I was questioning the meaning of life and what was my purpose in life. It wasn't just a question that would get answered in a day or two. No, it would take a year or two. And as I started attending church again, these questions were just dogging me. And I came to understand that Life only has meaning when we're connected to God. When we're connected to God. In general, life's purpose is for all of us to be in a relationship with our Creator. In general, that's what our purpose in life is for, is to be in a relationship with God, which I had been growing in. Yet it was Labor Day evening at the age of 25, almost 2 years later, that I upped it a notch with God, and I said, okay, God, your will be done, not mine. I'm going to step off the throne in my heart and invite you to sit on it. And whatever you ask me to do, I will do. It was both a scary moment and yet a moment of joy and relief. I remember the pounding in my heart as I finally said those words out loud. God, your will be done. For my whole life. Now, I thought it was it. I thought we were done. I was already singing in the choir. I was a youth sponsor for the youth at church. I was even a part of beginning a new adult Sunday school class. What else could God ever ask me to do? Don't ever ask God what's next. Because God will give you an answer. Realize I had a job that I believed that God had led me to, a job at Ford. The kind of job where you work for 30 or 40 years, you retire with a nice retirement package, and you skate for the rest of your life. But it was another year and a half or so, and I felt God calling me to do something more, to enter into full-time ministry. Now, I was still a single guy, but I had met this wonderful Christian lady that I had started dating. Yet at the same time, God was courting me too. I took a seminary course thinking that would bring some clarity to this call. But in fact, that course confused me even more. And next thing you know, I'm engaged and I'm married. I'm a homeowner, got 3 kids, a cat and a dog, but no fish. It would be about 5 or 6 years later that God would come knocking. Paul, I haven't forgotten. How about you? By this time, I was vice chair of our ad board on the lay leadership committee, and the most important thing to being a father and a husband was that I was discipling other people to know Christ more. I thought I was doing enough for God. God, I'm doing it all for you. But God still had bigger plans. And one day I'll have more time to explain in more detail about why I said no to God again. But to suffice it to say, it scared me to death. Now, here was my problem with saying no to God. Over the next 4 years, I saw my relationship with God growing more shallow. Sure, you asked me a question, I could tell you what God would say. I was comfortable with what the Bible said, and I could tell you what it said. I could say the right words. I was even following it up with some actions, being on committees, singing in the choir, working with the youth, vice chair of the ad board. And I even then started helping to lead and start a praise band at our church. And then I even became the chairman of our ad board. God, look what I'm doing for you now. But doing things does not equate to a deeper relationship with God, especially if we're unwilling to get out of the boat with Jesus. You remember that story with Peter getting out of the boat? We just read it. The disciples were trying to cross the Sea of Galilee. The wind had come up and it was buffeting against the boat. They had started in the evening to cross over, but because of the sea, the conditions of the sea, they didn't get very far. And early in the morning, they're still out on the lake, and Jesus comes walking on the water. They think it's a ghost. They think it's a ghost. But Jesus says to them, read it with me. Jesus said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you out on the water." And of course, Jesus says to Peter, what? "Come." Jesus was calling me to come out of the water, to trust him. And although I was willing to affirm that Jesus was my Savior, I couldn't get my hands to stop gripping the gunwale of the boat. As a result, I could see myself becoming more distant from God, which I was doing. And the relationship was not as tight as it once was. God was asking me to get out of the ship, but I couldn't muster the courage to say, "Yes, Lord." I was settling for a safe faith, a far cry from the adventure I had been on with Christ up until that point. But this safe faith was causing my relationship with God to take second place to all the activities I was doing for God. You see, Christians stop serving because it might not be safe. They stop tithing, they stop giving because they might think it might not be safe for their finances. They stop sharing because it might be embarrassing. They stop risking. They stop asking God what God wants them to do, and slowly they develop this apathetic, this boring, this safe faith. And when you take a risk and God comes through for you, he becomes real to you. It fires up your heart and starts you on a path to rediscovering the faith that is supposed to be alive in you. If you are a Christ follower and are listening for his voice, Jesus is going to challenge you by faith by asking you to do something which is impossible in your mind to do. God says, "I want you to go on a mission trip," but you say, "I can't spend that kind of time, God." God says, "I want you to start tithing." "I can't afford that, God." "I want you to go and talk to that person about me." "Lord, I'm too afraid." "I want you to ask forgiveness from that person." "Lord, I can't do that." "I want you to lead a small group Bible study." "Lord, I'm not smart enough to do that." "I want you to work with junior high students." "Lord, you've got to be kidding." You see, our faith gets tested and stretched only when we respond to Jesus asking us to do something that our human logic says is impossible. The person who had more faith for me in going to seminary was my wife. She said before we got married, "If God is asking you to do something, you need to do it." I remember those words before we were married. The first time that God had called me, when I said no, I went to Lene first because I said, "God, if she says no, I'm going to say no." She said those same words again. "If God is asking you to do something, you need to go do it." The third time God knocked and I finally said yes, she said, "If God is asking you to do something, you need to do it, but this is the last time." So because of her faith in God, I took my step out in faith. taking a step out in faith is the alternative to boredom and stagnation that causes most people to spiritually wither up and die. Author Greg Lavoie called it the common cold of the soul. The common cold of the soul. Listen to what he writes. To sinful patterns of behavior that never get confronted or changed. Abilities and gifts that never get cultivated or deployed until weeks become months and months turn into years. And one day you're looking back on a life of deep, intimate, gut-wrenchingly honest conversations you've never had. Great bold prayers you've never prayed. Exhilarating risks you've never taken. Sacrificial gifts you've never offered. Lives you've never touched. And you're sitting in a recliner with a shriveled soul and forgotten dreams. And you realize there's a world of desperate need and a great God calling you to be a part of something bigger than yourself. You see the person you could have become but did not. You never followed your calling. You never got out of the boat. When I finally said yes, I had remembered a teacher who had taught on video, Tony Campolo, probably 15 years before this point, who had taken a survey with 80 and 90-year-olds and asked, if you had to do life over again, what would you do differently? And one of the top answers, if it wasn't the top answer, was to take more risks and to build more relationships. You see, people at the end of their life realize that they wish they would have done more at the beginning of their life and through life, and they look back on life and they're disappointed. And it finally dawned on me at the age of 39 that I didn't want to be disappointed with God. I didn't want to face God and see a reel of my life of the things that I was asked to do but didn't do. The lives I could have touched but didn't touch. The things that God was asking me to do was so that I could be in this great adventure. And yet I didn't want to settle for a ho-hum, boring Christian, go-to-church-once-a-week life. God had more. Realize that Peter got out of the boat and that the 11 other disciples stayed in. They didn't even give it a shot. They didn't even try. They missed out on their once-in-a-lifetime chance to walk on water. Why? Because they wanted to play it safe. The only way to break the grip of fear is to get out of the boat. You see, the first thing we as Christians need to stop doing is saying no. We need to stop saying no when someone asks us to do something. We need to stop saying no when God says talk to them. We need to say no when God says to sacrificially give. We need to stop saying no and start saying yes. Like I said, it would be another 4 or 5 years later that I would finally say yes to God. And friends, it has been a great adventure. Have the waters been rough at times? Absolutely. But as long as I have kept my eyes on Jesus, who, by the way, wants me to succeed, I have weathered the storms and have seen Jesus do some wonderful things in my life and through my life. Why? Because I got out of the boat and I said yes. Instead of saying no, say yes to whatever God is asking you to do. That's the only way to really live. I know 2 summers ago, people said yes to God. Some said no to sports packages that they had and sacrificially gave. Some said no to some stocks and other money they were saving for a rainy day, and they said yes to God. And because we said yes, over $100,000 was raised. And start praying some dangerous prayers. Like Jesus prayed, not my will be done, but your will be done. If you want to walk on water, You have to be willing to get out of the boat. Our victory in life is sealed through our relationship with Jesus Christ. But that's only supposed to be the beginning. When you turn from sin and say, "Yes, Jesus, I believe that you're God's Son who died on the cross to save me from my sins that I might have eternal life," it's only supposed to be the start of what it means to be in relationship with Christ. There are many opportunities to serve Christ, not just within the church, not just on a Sunday morning, but throughout the week outside the church. There are so many Christian organizations that want people to help. There are so many people in our lives that need to hear the words, "God loves you and died for you." God is calling each one of us. And God will see you through. And listen, it will be a great adventure. Remember, no matter what God is asking you to do, God will be with you. God will equip you. God will give you the strength, the courage, the ability. Does that mean it will happen the first time? Maybe. Maybe it'll take three times. Maybe there will be more than a little water lapping up on your feet. Maybe there will be big waves that come crashing down on you. We might experience failure. It's bound to happen. We are human. But in my experience, God has always seen me to the end of whatever adventure He has begun in my life. And I know He'll see you through to your end, whatever those things that God is asking you to do. That's been my experience. Why not let it be yours? Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for all your love and grace in our lives, and ask that you would give us the strength to live in victory with Jesus, who willingly went to a cross, who willingly died, who sacrificed all he had for us, even 2,000 years later. God, give us the strength to not only hear, but to go and do. To not only go and do, but to proclaim what we have done, to celebrate you and us in you. Help us to live in victory. That's all I ask in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,